It is not known how many have died in Darfur from the violence, but in its advertisement, the Partnership for a Secure America put that figure at 400,000. It says 2.5 million people have been displaced, many of them fleeing to neighboring Chad. A peace agreement signed last May by the government and one major rebel group was supposed to end the conflict. Instead, it has sparked months of fighting between rival rebel factions. Chip Andre, co-chair of Partnership for a Secure America, says policymakers must take concrete steps now to end the conflict.
Our efforts really were directed at foreign policy leaders themselves, the leadership that we find in Congress, the leadership in the executive branch of government, and to the extent that embassies and others in the UN and other individuals who follow and care about Darfur or would want to or need to focus on it.
Colin Thomas Jensen is with the International Crisis Group in Washington, which works to prevent conflict worldwide. He says the Darfur newspaper advertisement can help put pressure on policymakers.
And there does seem to be a growing recognition among policymakers, both in the U.S. government and outside, that we need to take a much stronger line with the government of Sudan.
The fighting began in 2003 when ethnic African tribes revolted against the Arab-led Sudanese government. Sudan's president, Omar Hassan al-Bashir, retaliated by unleashing brutal Arab militias known as Janjaweed, which have been attacking rebels and civilians. The partnership says rape and murder are happening every day and charges the Sudanese government with genocide.
I think it's been raised to the level of genocide by the number of people, by the ferocity of the anger and toughness of the techniques used by the government of Sudan.
Ill-equipped African Union soldiers trying to keep peace in Darfur have been largely ineffective. The United Nations wants to replace them with UN peacekeeping troops, but the Sudanese government has rejected the plan. The newspaper advertisement says if a UN force is not deployed, then NATO-led intervention should be considered. It also says it is time to approve a NATO-led no-fly zone over Darfur, expand sanctions on the Sudanese government, free Sudan's assets, and block its oil exports. Andre says the international community should help.
And we need to be engaged with Russia, China, with the Arab League, and other institutions that have themselves an interest in this subject to specifically draw them more deeply into the process, be more fully engaged. And that we need to look at the role that NATO might play in providing yet another level of deterrent for the activities that cannot go on.
Hunger is rampant in Darfur. The UN World Food Program says it is not able to feed some 350,000 people because of a lack of security. Sudan's president denies there is a hunger crisis. Thomas Jensen says it is imperative additional international pressure be applied to alleviate the situation.
To this point, the government seems conditioned to accept the fact that they can get away with just about anything. They're acting with impunity. They've launched a new offensive in North Darfur. And so we're seeing the effects of this small dog diplomacy over the past few years, incessantly barking but very little bite. And so if we start to clamp down and start to impose some of these measures, these non-military measures, in an effort to get them to bend and accept a UN force, I think that's the first step.
Chip Andre says there has been positive feedback to the advertisement from some members of the U.S. Congress, which he hopes will translate into constructive action against the Sudan government. Deborah Block, VOA News.